You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, follow us wherever you get your podcast. You can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join me on Wednesdays to get in on the action. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. So the New York Mets are red hot now. All of a sudden, they've won three in a row. The bats have woke up. The pitching remains excellent. And this looks like a team that might be able to finally take off. In the first segment today, I want to talk about the Mets offense and the way they fared against former Met Zach Wheeler. In the second segment, I'm going to talk about David Peterson, who had maybe the best start of his career, and the other performances out of the bullpen for the Mets. And then in the final segment, I want to talk about maybe a problem that is coming the Mets' way with their bullpen, a way that they can maybe solve that problem. And I'll also give you my impressions overall on what I've seen from the Phillies this series. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter, at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at MetsMorizeOnline.com. Also, follow the show at Locked On Mets. You have until 7 p.m. tonight to enter for a chance to win a signed photo of Daryl Strawberry. So go there. It's a pinned tweet. You'll see it right on top of the account, and you will see the rules to enter. So let's talk about this game now. In the bottom of the first inning, the Mets were able to jump all over Zach Wheeler with consecutive hits coming from the top three hitters in the lineup, Brandon Nimmo, Francisco Lindor, and Dominic Smith. Smith obviously getting an RBI, driving in Nimmo on the third base hit. And with runners at first and third, Pete Alonso had a big RBI opportunity, although he hit into a double play. At least the run scored, though. And I was actually on the locker room app, and I was saying, look, as much as that was frustrating, seeing the way this Mets lineup has previously been with runners in scoring position, you almost take that because you had a crooked number up against Wheeler, a 2-0 lead, and the Mets were at least in a good position to go on and win the game. And obviously, they did just that. But throughout the rest of that inning, Jeff McNeil got hit by a pitch. Michael Conforto had a long at-bat and drew a walk. And then James McCann ultimately made the last out. But the Mets lineup really made Wheeler work in that first inning. He threw 29 pitches, and you were probably thinking, okay, you could probably get to the Phillies bullpen in the fifth inning, maybe the sixth inning. If you can keep on doing that to Zach, he's going to be out of this game early. But Wheeler pitched really well. I know that there's Mets fans who want to take this victory and say, ha, we shouldn't have paid you. I'm glad that we didn't give this overrated starting pitcher money, because look, he gave up three runs against the Mets in this game. He's nothing. He's not a frontline starter. Call me a forever Zach Wheeler stan, but the guy's still a great starting pitcher, and he has learned to really be a starting pitcher. What I mean by that is he can have a bad first inning, rebound, completely erase it from his memory, and give his team a chance to win. Wheeler pitched into the seventh inning. David Peterson did not. Now, part of that is based on managerial decisions, but the fact that Wheeler was able to settle down and keep the Mets lineup at bay, that continued to hit him, but they just did not hit him hard. He gave up 10 hits, all of them singles. Had 6 strikeouts, gave up 3 runs, and that final run came in the 7th inning, where he gets sent back out there, gives up hits to Lindor and Dom again, and that put Lindor on 3rd base. The Phillies went to the bullpen, Pete Alonso hit a sacrifice fly, and there is the final run on Wheeler's ledger. Overall, though, you got to give the Mets lineup credit because they really made Wheeler work. And this is the same pitcher who started off the season one hitting the Braves and getting 10 strikeouts. So the Mets did a really nice job on Zach Wheeler. I just want to kind of set the record straight for anyone who says the Mets made the right decision on Zach Wheeler. They still did not. They've just done a great job, you know, rebounding from what was a poor decision not to sign him. By bringing in Taijuan Walker and Carlos Carrasco, they have really kind of extended the window of this starting rotation with the impending free agencies of Marcus Stroman and Noah Syndergaard. You still have a trio atop your rotation with DeGrom. David Peterson looks to be factoring in as well. Who knows about Luke Casey? Who knows if they bring either of those guys back? The bottom line, the Mets rotation is okay now, but it'd still be better with Wheeler. Anyway, let's go through the rest of the lineup throughout this game. I just want to spotlight some great performances by some of these hitters. Brandon Nimmo continues to be the hottest hitter on this team, one of the hottest hitters in baseball. Not necessarily hitting for power, but he is an on-base machine. Went 3-for-5 in this game. He's now 13-for-28 on the season. Yes, that is one hit away from batting 500. His on-base percentage is 583 because he's drawn 8 walks. Slugging percentage is still 571. Bottom line, this dude has just been unbelievable. He can't keep it up because nobody hits 464 for a season. But can he keep his on-base percentage above 400 all year? Absolutely. And right now he's built a little bit of a cushion to keep those stats up throughout the season when he inevitably slows down just a little bit. Francisco Lindor, I think, is still yet to have an extra base hit. Actually, no, he has that one double. Regardless, gets 2 singles in this game, scores 2 runs. His impact is felt throughout in so many different facets. You know, we saw him turn in, you know, 6-6-3 double play where he filled in himself, made the turn in a late inning situation. He is a leader out in the field, and his base running is a big boost for this team as well. I think this has been a Mets team that has struggled to have above average base runners. They're usually kind of a slug first team. And now with Lindor and Nimmo atop the lineup, at least you have a few guys that can try to manufacture some runs, take some extra bases. They were effortlessly going first to third on those base hits throughout the game. Finally, we have Dominic Smith, who went 3-for-5 with an RBI, and James McCann, who went 3-for-4, started to heat up a bit, and hit a 2-run homer in the bottom of the 8th inning, which was basically the icing on the cake for this game. The Mets win 5-1. Overall, just a great effort all the way around. Great to see this team start to hit their stride. I want to talk about David Peterson and maybe the best start of his big league career in just a minute. As I already mentioned, today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room, the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. I'll be hosting rooms for Locked On Mets on Wednesdays, where you can finally join in on the conversation you listen to here every day. Tonight, it was great. I popped on Locker Room at about 7 o'clock, stayed on for around an hour, got to meet a couple of longtime listeners for the show. We basically just sat down, watched the Mets game, and talked like friends. It's a lot of fun, so go download the free Locker Room app now, which is currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link to your Twitter, and join the MLB group for the latest league updates. Follow me at Finkelstein Ryan to be notified when my room goes live. I know you won't want to miss it. Again, I'm planning to be live on Wednesdays around game time. I can't wait to hear everyone's thoughts on the Mets. I will see you there. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. One reason to repair and maintain your car is to save money that you can then use for other important things like your mortgage, food. So why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, maybe even 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or new car dealership when you can just go to rockauto.com, a family business that's been serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. They have everything you can want, from engine control modules to brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks and have it delivered directly to your door. Go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, and make sure you write Locked On in there, How'd You Hear About Us box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Hosted by Peter Bukowski, Locked On Today is a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes by subscribing to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so let's talk about what could be considered the best start of David Peterson's career. Pitches six innings, gives up just two hits, one run, and ties a career high with 10 strikeouts. To me, what was really impressive about Peterson is all the circumstances surrounding this start. The fact that he had some extra time to think about his last start because of the weather, because of the reshuffling of the rotation, and him getting pushed back a bit. Because he was going against the same team that ambushed him in his first start of the season, scoring four runs in the first inning of that game. Ultimately, six runs got charged to Peterson because he probably came out one inning too many in that first start, gave up a couple of base runners. Jacob Barnes comes in, gives up a three-run homer to JT Realmuto, and you look at the box score at the end of the day, and Peterson has to swallow a 1350 ERA at the time, giving up six runs and four innings pitched. Now he goes out, flushes that bad start down the drain. Luis Rojas has been saying that this kid has a ton of poise and maturity, and he showcased that. Had no problems attacking a Phillies lineup that, again, had just previously gotten to him. A very righty-heavy Phillies lineup, and Peterson carved them up. I mean, the only run he gave up was a Jean Segura home run in the fifth inning. And in the second inning, he worked around an atrocious error from Dominic Smith. And I don't want to knock him too much. Dom's trying his best out there. He does a really good job making most of the plays. But this is one of the adventures that you have when it's a first baseman playing left field. And that's just the reality here. We've seen it with JD Davis. We've seen it with Dom. We've seen it in the past with Lucas Duda or Daniel Murphy out there. Sometimes you throw an infielder in the outfield, they don't take great routes to the ball, and they take their eyes off of it at times. They're just not used to the natural fundamentals of playing in the outfield. And for this one, Dom races back to try to catch it, hits the heel of his glove, and JT Realmuto gets the second base on the error. But Peterson worked around it. He was able to get a strikeout, then he got a ground up, then he struck out another batter. And that error was erased. Didn't matter. And from that point on after the error, Peterson retired 10 straight batters. He actually didn't give up a hit until the home run off the bat of Segura with one out in the fifth. So other than that, Peterson was sensational. I mean, there was nothing you can criticize about his performance. Now, he was pinch hit for in the bottom of the sixth inning, and some people maybe wanted to second guess that. To me, you have a runner on third base in a one-run game, you got to send a pinch hitter out there. Although the Mets probably weren't going to send Peterson back out anyway. And it does remind me of last season. I think at times when you're doing a daily podcast, you have different patterns you pick up as you're covering the team, as I did last year and in 2019. You have an off season, you forget about them, and then the season begins again and you're reminded of some of those patterns. And one of them was David Peterson getting pulled after throwing like 80 pitches and not being allowed to face a lineup three times in a row. And there were starts last year where I was very critical of Rojas for pulling Peterson because the bullpen behind him was so bad in 2020. And there was starts where he was cruising and I felt like they didn't give him an opportunity to finish off a gem. In this instance, not only because of his spot coming up, if his spot didn't come up, I still would have been fine if the Mets pulled him at 80 pitches because I think it's important to note that Segura was due up in that inning who had taken Peterson yard and let a young pitcher like this feel good about himself. You know, you just talk about his poise and the fact that he was able to bounce back. But if you have an opportunity to send him to the showers on a great note, tying his career high in strikeouts, holding the Phillies to just two hits and one run over six innings, I'm okay with trusting your bullpen because so far, this bullpen's been pretty decent. Can't say it's been great, but I get that the Mets trust Familia. And while fans don't trust him, I might not trust him. He comes in, walks the first batter. That's never a good sign. But after that, he induced two really weak ground balls, and people are not hitting Familia hard. At some point, maybe on tomorrow's show, I do want to dive into the numbers on Familia because I think they're a little bit deceiving. You think he's probably having a worse season than he actually is having on the mound. I think he's been kind of dealt a raw hand with some bad luck. But overall, I think he's throwing the ball well, has to cut down on the walks. The same old problems with Familia, but they trust him, and I'm okay with that. So he comes out, walks the one batter, gets a slow roller to Guillorme, which he made a nice play on coming in on the ball. That's something he's working on because he's not used to third base. Makes a strong play there. Then there's another number, this one to Lindor, that he just simply can't make a play on. Segura was too fast coming down the line. You had runners at first and third, a lefty pinch hitter in Didi Gregorius coming up, and the Mets went to Aaron Loop. Now, in this spot, Loop comes in, throws two pitches, gets exactly what the doctor ordered, a ground ball hit right to Lindor, who was basically playing right behind second base, the easiest double play you can turn, and the Mets escape a big jam. And from that point on, there was really no more questions as to if the Mets are going to win this game. Loop goes out, pitches a great eighth inning, gets a couple of strikeouts on some righties. This is a side armer who has some really nice control, or at least he exhibited good control in this game and a lot of movement that's tough to hit, whether it's a righty or a lefty. So I like what I saw from Loop. Edwin Diaz comes out in the ninth inning. He was great as well. Struck out two batters. I did have a little bit of a problem with him going out with a four-run lead, and I'll talk about that in just a minute because I think there are some underlying problems with this Mets bullpen. I think there are some clear solutions, and that's what I'm going to talk about in just a minute, as well as giving my overall take of what this Phillies team is going to be in the long term. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football's been over, but the NBA, NHL, and Major League Baseball are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV with real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the new scores and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with our promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So Edwin Diaz pitched the ninth inning of the game tonight. Does not get a save, obviously. The Mets were winning by four runs. And I do think it was an interesting choice to still go to him in that spot after James McCann hit the two-run homer to give you that big lead. Because this was a situation where you could have gone to a Jacob Barnes or to Trevor Hildenberger or to Robert Gazelman, the guy that people might forget is even on this team. But Rojas clearly only trusts 4.5 guys right now. Or maybe it's just 4 guys. He trusts Trevor May. He trusts Edwin Diaz. He trusts Miguel Castro. And he half trusts Familia and Aaron Loop, I think. So you look at those other guys in the pen, whether it be Gazelman, Hildenberger, Barnes, even Luke Casey, who's kind of been in the pen throughout this season, although he's due to make a start now, either on Friday or Saturday, you would think. The Mets are in this position where that second half of their bullpen isn't even being used. And I have a problem with that. Now, part of that is based on the schedule. But we also saw this last year, and I've talked about it on recent podcasts. Rojas has a few guys he trusts to pitch with a lead, and he just won't go to anyone else. When you have a 4-run lead that is a time where you can throw Jacob Barnes out there, on his birthday no less, and see if he can get you through the ninth inning. Because if he does that, look what you have. Edwin Diaz will be fresh to go again. Now Diaz has pitched in two straight days. Is he going to pitch in a third straight day? Probably not. Luckily, Miguel Castro, Trevor May should be ready to go. But so far this season, May, Diaz, Familia, and Castro all have four appearances. Aaron Loop now has two after pitching tonight. Barnes and Betances have one, and the other guys haven't pitched at all. So you're in this place where guys are getting cold at the end of your bullpen, and eventually when you're in a situation like right now where you might have a bullpen game coming up, and these guys are going to go in ice cold, actually literally ice cold because it's going to be in Denver, but having not pitched in a game in 2 weeks in spring training. So I think that's a problem, and I think that part of that problem actually goes back to the fact that the Mets don't have a real lockdown guy right now. Because if Edwin Diaz was lights out, if Edwin Diaz was the type of reliever where you just know you put the ball in his hand and you're going to win a game, if he was that type of a closer, you would feel comfortable taking your chances on Barnes because Diaz could clean up the mess. And so I think part of the problem right now is there's guys that Rojas trusts but doesn't trust. Okay? Guys that he's willing to go to in clean innings, and he wants Diaz to go out over a Barnes to make sure you lock down that game, you win the series. I get that. And at times, that probably is the way to go. Grab a win when it's in your hands. But this is a 26-man roster, and the Mets are playing it like it's a 21-man roster. And I think that if you continue to do that over a 162-game season, it can catch up to you. Now, the Mets have so much talent that maybe it doesn't. And I think part of these problems can solve themselves, because I do believe there's going to be a point in the season where the Mets are going to be carrying a lot of stretched-out arms. Because when Carrasco comes back, the way Peterson's throwing the ball, the way Taijuan Walker's throwing the ball, even the way Joey Lucchesi has been shown to throw the ball in his one appearance and throughout spring training, I don't see a reason why you would necessarily drop one of those starting pitchers, namely, obviously not Walker, but the other two, when Carrasco comes back, when you can instead get rid of a pitcher like Gazelman, who's not throwing anyway. And so maybe you do get to a point where Peterson has a two-day window to get into a game, and after five innings, if Carrasco can't go any longer, you go to Peterson, and you see if he can get through a lineup one time through, and maybe carry you from the sixth inning through the eighth. So I think that is a way the Mets can get through that. They can get more length out of some of these guys and potentially erase some of these issues of tired arms when you have to go to Edwin Diaz, to Miguel Castro, and Trevor May to get the last three innings of every game you're winning. Maybe instead you can close out a game with Peterson if he's pitching well. Maybe he goes the last three innings. Seth Lugo has been in that role in the past, and he should be back pretty soon. So I think once the Mets get healthy, if they're smart, they will utilize their strength. And their strength right now isn't necessarily their bullpen. It's their incredible depth in their rotation. So if you rely on that depth and get creative, there is a way that you can use all of these guys to win games. Because if your stars are your best pitchers, you have to stop thinking about roles and just thinking about getting outs. And Noah Syndergaard is going to be maybe the most fascinating example of all of these guys, because he would clearly be a dominant closer. And I'm not saying the Mets should put him in the bullpen and keep him there, but when he's coming back from the injury, you don't know how many innings he's going to have. I wouldn't mind seeing a month of Syndergaard pitching out of the bullpen, even if it's on a scheduled day. If you just have Syndergaard going after Taijuan Walker. So if Walker gives you seven, Syndergaard comes in and pitches the last two. And that would be a dynamic option for the Mets. So I think there are ways they can cobble everything together and get the most out of their pitchers and it's probably a less traditional route, but more of a cutting edge one that fits in with this idea of becoming an analytically driven team. Now, I wanted to touch a bit on the Phillies because I just don't think they're that good of a baseball team. And maybe this is just me being cocky after the Mets have won 3 in a row, but this lineup for the Phillies, it's just not good. On the top, it's great. McCutchen, Hoskins, Harper, Realmuto, Bohm, Segura, Gregorius. It's a great, you know, top seven. But whenever one of those guys needs a breather, when injuries inevitably arise, Ronald Torres, Roman Quinn, Brad Miller, Matt Joyce, these guys we're seeing just aren't major league caliber hitters. Some of them have been in the past, Miller and Joyce in particular. But I mean, with Torres and Quinn in the lineup tonight, that's just easy strikeouts. I think the Locked On Phillies host Dan Wilson before the game said he thought that Wheeler should bat seventh tonight. Like seriously, ahead of Torres and Quinn. And that just tells you the lack of depth the Phillies have. And they've lost 5 of their last 6. I just don't see them hanging in there for a marathon of a season. I kind of feel the same way about the Nationals. In some regards, I think the Marlins are maybe the, I don't want to say the best team, but they might be the best team to watch of those three just because they're young. They have some fire. Jazz Chisholm, a lot of fun to watch. You've already heard me rave about Rodgers. I think this team, or this division, I should say, is really going to boil down to the Mets and Braves. I think we're going to look up at the All-Star break, and there's going to be like 10 games separating the top two and the bottom three of this division. I could be wrong. I could be getting swept away in a few nice nights for the Mets, but I think that's what we're heading towards, and it'll be interesting to see what actually unfolds over the coming weeks and months. Anyway, that's going to be all for today's edition of Locked On Mets. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow us wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Finkelstein Ryan. Follow the show at Locked On Mets. And there again, you will find that giveaway for a signed photo of Daryl Strawberry. Also, if you are addicted to fantasy baseball, you now have a new resource that gives you an edge in your leagues. And that's the Locked On Fantasy Baseball Podcast, a daily show hosted by veteran analyst Scott Cullen, who uses data and nearly 2 decades of experience to offer the strategies and waiver wire pickups that lead to league wins. Follow Locked On Fantasy Baseball on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.